Open your eyes and see a light once hidden behind darkness. You see a peace in the serenity. I see a training for the trial, the enabling of God. You see a storm, waves of hardship that threaten to overtake you. I see an opportunity for boldness, the strength of God. You see mistakes and failures, baggage and pain. I see influence, a moment to live courageously and overcome. Listen, focus. A light lies hidden beneath the darkness. See the things unseen through the eyes of a lion.
You know, of all the series that we've had planned for this year, for whatever reason, I've just been gravitating back to this one for months. And I don't know exactly why, other than my sense and really my prayer has been that God would use this series to specifically transform our church and many people's lives. And so if you happen to be here and you're new to CCV, or if you came because someone promised you dinner or lunch, you know, or you know, maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend said, if you don't show up, man, it's, I don't know, you know, and so you, in other words, you just got dragged to church. I just want to let you know, I don't believe you're here by accident. I don't think any of us are here by accident. I really pray that many of us look back and we would pinpoint that God used this series to move us further, faster in our faith. Now, to get our conversation started as we, you know, talk about what it looks like to live through the eyes of a lion, I want to just start by asking you a question. Do you ever get frustrated looking back on your life and looking back on a season of your life, and you would say this, I realize now that I lacked perspective back then. In other words, I realize now that there was a season of my life that, man, I just lacked faith. You know, I didn't see how anything good could come of this. You ever been there? I mean, I was thinking this past week of, you know, how many times this has happened in my life. I'll give you a few funny ones. I was in high school, and I was dating this girl for over 2 years, and I thought, she might be the one. And then we had this devastating breakup, you know, and I was like, how can anything good come of this? And then 2 years later, I met Jamie, and I thought, why did I even date that girl, you know? But I just lacked so much perspective. Then I remember going to college, and I had this crisis moment in my life in college where, you know, I literally had these panic attacks because I didn't know what was I was going to do in my future. I changed my major 2 times. I mean, literally, I was like sleepless nights going, I don't know what I'm going to do in my future. I mean, imagine that. Imagine a 19-year-old that doesn't have their future completely mapped out perfectly. You know, it's like, but at the time, it was such a big deal, and I just was so stressed over it. Then I remember, you know, about a year into marriage, Jamie and I were working, we were both working about 50 plus hours a week, and then we were going to school at night together. There was no online classes. You had to go to a classroom to get, we were both getting our master's degree, and then we'd come home, we'd do homework. We literally had no margin in our lives. And so our plan, because this is what you do when you get married, you plan everything out. Our plan was to have kids 4 to 5 years later. That was our plan. And then I will never forget, in the midst of this season, she walked downstairs. I knew exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting on this couch. I can still picture it to this day. And she walked down, and this is what she was holding. This. And there were 2 lines. And that meant our life was over. I mean, it was like, we freaked out. Not in a good way. Because there's no way we could fit a child into our life in this season. And God saw differently. And I'm telling you, and now looking back, I would not change one day for when God brought that little girl into our lives. But at the time, we just lacked so much faith. You ever been there? Why is it that there's seasons, if we looked back, that we would have to honestly begin to maybe ask a question? The question would be, why is it so hard to embrace faith over fear sometimes? You ever been there? Maybe for you as a season in work, you know, work wasn't going well, or you lost your job, or, you know, maybe during parenting, you were convinced that a demon got up in your child and you didn't know what was going on and there was no end in sight. I mean, you were just, it was so terrible. There was no hope, right? Or maybe you lost a loved one or a relationship got severed, or, you know, for some of us, we were single and, you know, we just spent our nights on the couch with pizza and a bag of Cheetos, and it was just like everyone else is getting married and engaged, and, you know, it's never going to happen for us. And some of you are thinking, how does he have a camera in my house right now? Because that's what, I mean, that's like my nights, you know, and you're just so worried. I don't know, looking back for you, what that season was for you, but don't miss this. Isn't it true, because all of us have had a season we can look back on now, isn't it true when you look back how frustrating it is, how much you lacked faith? I mean, we spent so much time and energy and stress, and think about the hours you wasted, and some of us took years off our life because of the stress. I mean, you just want to go back and you want to shake yourself and say, it's going to be okay, buddy. But it didn't feel that way. And if we got honest, and you're only as good as you are honest, the issue was what? We lacked faith. And it's happened to every single one of us. So, this isn't something that just happens back then. This is something that every single day when you wake up, you have to make a decision. It's a war. It's a war you face every single day, whether it's a small or big decision, for us to be able to just look at what's in front of us or be able to begin to not just rely on what we can just see, but begin to see life through the eyes of a lion. Now, this is a metaphor we're going to use for this series. It's based on a book that was written years ago by a man named Levi Lesko. The metaphor through the eyes of a lion is going to be this. It's a metaphor for learning to view life through the telescope of faith. Through the telescope of faith. Now, it's a really amazing metaphor, and here's why. Because lions have spectacular vision. They can see so much better than we can, especially in the dark. It's been said that a lion, who's known as being long-sighted, can see 6 to 8 times better than we can, especially in the dark. I mean, when we get in the dark, it's kind of like we're reaching around. We're like, hey, is that you, Johnny? Is that you, Susie? Not a lion. He's like, that's dinner, right? He can see so clearly. Now, why can a lion see so much better than we can? Why can he see so much further than we can? Well, you have to understand how eyesight actually works. You see, eyesight is basically the function of your eyes taking in and processing light. That's all eyesight is. Eyesight is literally, just like a camera, how well your eye takes in light and processes it. In other words, your eyes work this way. Light comes in the cornea, the outer edge of the eye, goes through the pupil, the colored part of the eye, which, you know, expands to control how much light comes in. It goes through a lens, which processes the light, to the back of the eye, which is the retina, which has millions of rods and cones, which then send the information through the optic nerve up to the brain, and then you can see. Did you get all that? There's going to be a quiz at the end. You can't leave unless you pass the quiz, all right? So, no, I'm kidding. You don't need to know any of that, all right? The eye is unbelievably complex, and I just touched on a portion of it. The only thing I want you to know about sight is your eyesight, how well you can see, how far you can see, depends on how you process light. And a lion's eyes are designed so much better than ours to do just that. I mean, think about this. A lion, their actual pupil, the colored part of the eye that controls how much light gets in, it can expand 3 times larger than our eye, which can let more light in their eyes. And then their retina, the back of their retina, which has a lot more cones than ours does, so they can actually absorb and keep in more light. And then the way God designed a lion's eyes is it has a reflective covering that we don't have. So when the light comes in, it doesn't escape as much as it does in our eyes. And that's why every single time you've seen pictures of lions at night, what are their eyes doing? Their eyes are glowing because of this reflective lens. Don't you wish your eyes could glow like that? I mean, you could freak your kids out at night. You just walk in like that. But maybe the most amazing thing to me of how God designed a lion's eyes is this. When you look at a lion, they have white strips underneath their eyes. And these white strips operate the exact opposite of what a football or baseball player would do when they put black strips under their eyes. They put black strips to try to keep out the glare, to try to make sure there's not as much glare. God designed these white strips under a lion because even in the faintest light conditions, it lets more light bounces off the white into their eyes so they can see further. So a lion can process more light and let more light in so he can see further than we can. Is that not an amazing analogy? I believe God gave us this analogy to show us a picture of how faith works. Because think about it. What does Scripture say is the source of all light in our lives? Let me read it for you. It comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. This is Jesus. Jesus was speaking. This is red letters. He says, I, Jesus, am the what? I'm the light of the world. Jesus is the light. He's the source of all light in your life and mine. And then he goes on to say this, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, the light of life, that was a Greek phrase which meant to have happiness, to have purpose, to have vitality in your life. And God's given us this amazing picture of who Jesus is, that he's the light that can illuminate to help us see further. So here's what I want you to know. If you want to see further in your life, if you want to be able to see through the lens of faith, your eyes require more light. Jesus is light. So here's the big idea if you're taking notes. You can see further when you bring Jesus closer. You truly can because he's a source of light in our life. Now, for a lot of you, that's a foreign concept, right? You might even push back, and that's fine. Some of you here, you've never really gone all in with Jesus. You wouldn't consider yourself a follower of Jesus. And man, I'm so glad you're here. This church was designed for you. But maybe what I would just tell you is, I just want you to wrestle and just be open with maybe, could it be just maybe the reason your life seems so foggy, the reason it's so hard to see, could it be that you've never let Jesus in? But for all of us, I believe we have to be able to learn to see through the eyes of a lion, to let more light in. Now, don't miss this. This is so huge. Lions do not have more access to light than we do. We all have access to the exact same light. They are just designed to let more light in and process it better. And the same is true of us spiritually. You ever met someone that they just seem to have a strong faith? I mean, whatever they're going through, it just hasn't even rattled them. They're just so strong and they can just see beyond their momentary issues in life. And some of you thought this, you thought, well, they must have special access to God or to Jesus. Kind of like Luke Skywalker had special access to Yoda. Maybe that's how it works with them, you know? That is not true. Every single one of us here today, listen, every campus, every single one of us has the exact same access to Jesus. I don't have more access to Jesus than you do. It's just many people have learned how to let more light in, which means every single one of us has the ability to be able to begin to see through the eyes of a lion, to see further through the lens of faith. Now, we're going to dive deeper into this series in the next few weeks. Today's really an introduction to this. But today, what I want to do to help all of us is I want to give you three principles today that are going to help you see through the eyes of a lion, and I want to give you one major takeaway. So if you're taking notes, here's principle number one. You cannot rely on the naked eye. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is an amazing passage of Scripture talking about how to see through the eyes of a lion. We're going to get into it a lot deeper next week. Let me just show you one verse today. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us. Paul says in verse 18, chapter 4, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on what is right in front of us, but what is unseen. Huh. I mean, you read that and you think like, Paul, that sounds like terrible advice. I'm going to fix my eyes on what I can't see versus why wouldn't I just pay attention to what's right in front of me? And here's what Paul has learned throughout his whole life and all the hardships that the Apostle Paul went through. He began to realize that what you see in front of you with the naked eye is not everything that's going on around you. As a matter of fact, God may be moving in ways that you cannot see. And the reason this is so important to not rely on the naked eye is Paul goes on to tell us this. Actually, he says this. He says to fix our eyes. Now, why would he use this word, fix our eyes? Because here's what it is. It's the Greek word, skopeo. Because when you're in the midst of something hard, it's hard not to just see what's in front of you. So Paul says, fix your eyes, skopeo your eyes, which means to scope. That's where we get the English word scope. It's where we also get the English word telescope, where tele means to look further. And when you scope something out, no, guys, I'm not talking about that kind of scoping, all right? When you scope something out, It means you have to get beneath the surface. You have to dig deeper than what's right just in front of you. It's required. And then Paul goes on to tell us this in the rest of the verse. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let me ask you a question. If you were just kind of getting gut level honest today, what are you focused on right now? Are you focused on the temporary or are you focused on the eternal? I think this is a huge concept. As a pastor, one of the things I'll oftentimes do is I'll pick up a book that's not a Christian book at all. I like reading kind of the thoughts and what's going on in our culture. I feel like that's my job to keep up on how people are thinking. Last year, I picked up a book that was getting rave reviews by all sorts of celebrities. I mean, Oprah's book club gave it 2 thumbs up, and it was getting rave reviews. It's called The Power of Now. It's a new age thinking book. As I began to read this book, I'm going to give you the basic summary of the book. Here's the summary. Don't pay attention to tomorrow or your future. Just focus on now. Only focus on now. If it feels good now, do it. Don't worry about your future. I thought to myself, that is some of the worst advice I've ever heard in my life. This book's getting rave reviews. I mean, think about it. How many times have you made a decision today that you regretted in your future? Well, that would be all of us. Spring break, that girl you picked up in a bar, that time you snuck out. I mean, the power of now, the Bible says to do the exact opposite, to not focus on the temporary, to focus on the eternal, what's not seen. So let me just, this is for free, okay? I'm just gonna throw this in. Let me tell you one thing that I do in my leadership that helps me focus on the future. And if you're a leader, I'd encourage you, this is an amazing tool. See, when you're in leadership, oftentimes, things are not clear. The future is not clear. And so you're in these foggy situations where you're trying to decide between A or B or C, and you don't know exactly which direction to pick, and emotions get high. And so when I find myself in those situations, I have to choose between A or B or C, I begin to ask myself a series of 3 questions, which is called the 10-10-10 decision matrix. You ready? Here's what you ask yourself. If I choose A or B, how will I feel 10 minutes from now? Then you ask yourself, how will I feel 10 months from now? And then you ask yourself, how will I feel 10 years from now? Why is this so critical? Because when you begin to ask these questions, it forces you to get outside of a temporary mindset and begin to think long-term, which is so hard when emotions are high and when you're stressed and you have anxiety. And the Apostle Paul's telling us the exact same thing. He says, don't just focus on the temporary. Don't just even focus on 10 years. Focus on eternity, because you cannot rely on the naked eye. Here's principle number 2. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. One of our family's favorite things to do is on occasion we'll get up to Flagstaff, and we love going up to Flagstaff, and invariably when we're up there, we'll walk outside, it's night, we'll look up at the sky, and I just see all the stars. I mean, they're so vivid and bright. I've laid outside with my kids and just looked and marveled at all the stars, and then I'll drive back to the valley. I mean, it could be the same night. I'll get to the valley, I'll look up, nothing. There's no stars. Now, just because I can't see the stars, does it mean they're not there? Of course not. But it gets even deeper. Think about this. When you walk out in the daylight and you look up at the sky, you can't see any stars. Did you know technically all the stars are still there? You just can't see them. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. It just proves what Scripture says. Paul later on in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "For we live by what? Faith, not by sight." You got to live by faith, not by sight. Now, this is so hard to do sometimes, because there are times in your life that, well, God doesn't seem present. He seems really far away, and it's really hard to have faith. Why is it so difficult sometimes to have faith? Principle number 3. Our sight is often obstructed by 2 things, distance and interference. Distance and interference. Now, let me just talk about this concept of interference for a moment. When you look up at the stars, oftentimes, and when you can see them, they're twinkling. Isn't that awesome? The twinkle, you know, it's twinkle stars. Did you know stars don't twinkle? There's constant light coming from the stars. They never shut off. There's no twinkling. The only reason they twinkle, we're told, is because in the atmosphere, there's shifting particles and gas that temporarily block our view and make us think that the stars are twinkling. So think about it, parents. When you sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, you were lying. You were flat out lying. Now, you didn't know. I didn't know either. I sang that song. But isn't it interesting? See, here's the point. Here's what I want you to know. We live in a world where interference comes your way all the time. We live in a world of pain. We live in a world of sin. And it is so easy when you're trying to see forward and you're trying to look forward in your future for something to come, for you either to allow it or for it to come into your life, and it interferes with your sight. It's kind of like having a pair of glasses that are smudged. My wife, I look over at her sometimes. I clean my sunglasses all the time. Her sunglasses, I don't even know how you see out of those. There's smudges everywhere. Drives me nuts. Or you might put on a contact lens. Remember when you get something in the lens? It just causes everything to get out of focus. And the same thing can happen to us in our life. So what do you do? I mean, interference comes your way all the time. Well, remember, you cannot rely on the naked eye. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. And oftentimes our sight is obstructed by distance and interference, things we let into our lives. Man, I want to see through the eyes of a lion. I want to see further, don't you? What should we do? Well, remember, let me go all the way back to the beginning and remember. To see further, you have to let more light in. Jesus is light. So here's the big takeaway. You can see further when you bring Jesus closer. How would you do that in your life? Well, let me suggest a couple things. One, for some of you that are here today, and you've never decided to follow Jesus and take the step of baptism, let me just suggest that maybe the reason your life seems so foggy is because you truly haven't let Jesus in. That might be an amazing next step for you. And if that's you, we'd love to talk to you today. We have staff or volunteers, or we have a class we offer called Starting Point that's coming up, and that'd be a great chance for you to take that step. But for all of us, I think there's one step that we could take that would allow us to be illuminated by God to let more light in our lives so we can see further. And here's what it is. Let me introduce it to you. Psalm 119 says this. It says, there's something in these two blanks that's a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Do you know what it is? See, many of you could fill this verse in, but let me just show you. Let me tell you what it's not. It's not buying horoscopes. It's not finding astrology. It's not even Dr. Phil. Okay, he can't even light your path. He can't make a lamp. I mean, he can't do this. But isn't it interesting how many places we choose to go outside of God? Let me show you what the verse actually says. It says, your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet today, and it's a light unto my path for my future. This book can light your way and let more light into your life so God can illuminate your life. And here's the thing. Most of us know that. We knew that verse. The problem is we just don't live as if it's true. A lot of us approach this book like the Queen of England. I mean, she has a top position, but she has no power. And that's how we treat God's word. I mean, we just turn other places before we ever want to turn to this book. 3 weeks ago, I was with my daughter, and we were just walking around shopping, and she wanted to go into this shop called Urban Outfitters. It's kind of a hip clothing center. And listen, if you shop there, if you work there, it's awesome, all right? Urban Outfitters is great. You can buy me some clothes from there. I don't know, whatever. So, but it's great. But when I walked in there, I went to the center of the room. There's a table. They have a bunch of clothes, and then there's books. There's just a book table at the center. So I walked over to the books. She's shopping, and I just began to look. And when I got to the book table, my heart broke. And here's why. Because here's a store that is unbelievably popular with the next generation. I want to show you the books that are being pushed and being highlighted in a store. Not just this store, but many stores. Here, let me show you a few of them. There was a book called Basic Witches. How to Summon Success, Banish Drama, and Raise Hell with Your Coven. How to Find Your Future Through Witchcraft. Then they had this book, Practical Magic, A Beginner's Guide to Crystals, Horoscopes, Psychics, and Spells. Because that'll illuminate your life. And then they also sell this book, The Little Book of Crystals. Crystals to attract love, well-being, and spiritual harmony into your life. And I just sat there, and again, my heart broke because they wouldn't have these books out if they weren't selling. Because all of us, listen, all of us have this desire deep inside of us to be able to look further for something to light our path. And we're going to turn many places other than God's word. All of us do this. I mean, you might have a book on witchcraft, but you might be going somewhere else. You might be looking on the internet. You might look in other places. Is this your first place to look? Because God gave us his word to light our path. It's so clear. The light analogy is amazing. Some of you are sitting there thinking, hey, I agree with that. That's why I'm in church. I'm in church so you can read it to me. And trust me, that's awesome. I'm glad you come to a church where we will not steer clear away from God's word. This will always be what you get taught when you come to CCV. But some of you don't ever open this the rest of the week. It's just you only hear it and engage it when you're here for 1 hour. You're only here for 1 hour. And some of you leave early. I see you leaving early. I see you. Now listen, it's 1 hour, right? I mean, you're rushing off to get to your car, beat the traffic. And I'm being dead serious about this. If you have a tendency to leave early, and I know you got tons of excuses, I want to challenge you with something. One, it's pretty rude for everyone around you. And two, this is the deeper issue. There are people around you that God is speaking to them. And as they're processing what maybe God wants them to do, all of a sudden you get up and they get distracted. Could it be that you might be interrupting the work of the Holy Spirit? This is a serious issue. But listen, here's the deal. It's 1 hour a week. If this is the only time you engage God's word, think about it this way. If you fed your kids 1 hour on one day a week, would they live? No, you'd be in prison if you did that, all right? That's what you would do. So don't expect 1 hour on one day a week to work. Some of you do this. Man, you come to church and you walk out and you have so much faith. I mean, your way is lit. And then by Wednesday, you find yourself so discouraged. You've lost all your faith. You know why? Because you can't walk out of a lit room with God's word and expect that to last you all week if you don't engage God's word yourself. So I'm just telling you, I'm just challenging you. This is the challenge. I'm challenging you. Could it be the missing link in your life for you to be able to see further, to see through the eyes of the lion, would be that you simply make a decision for 10 to 15 minutes a day that you'll engage this book? That's my challenge for you today. And here's how I want to challenge you to do that on a daily basis. I'm going to challenge you to pick a time and a place. Here's what I mean. You pick a time every single day. I will pick a time that I'll engage God's word. You don't have to read a lot. You can read 10 to 15 minutes. Start off that way. You read longer later. But let me just tell you what works in my life, okay? My time is 6 a.m. every day. I wake up at 6 a.m., and if I'm not in God's word, I am missing God illuminating, let his light into my life so I can see what God wants me to see so I can do what God wants me to do. This is so important to me. Now, that 6 a.m. may not work for you. You're like, 6 a.m.? I would never do that. That's totally fine. The time doesn't matter. My wife, Jamie, she's more like 2 p.m. She reads in the afternoon. You might do 9:30. It doesn't matter. You just pick a time because you want to be consistent. And here's the other thing. You pick a place. I think to develop the habit of engaging God's word, you should be in the same spot. It's not required, but I believe this is powerful. For me, every morning, I'm on a couch in our front room, and it's totally quiet. That's where I read mine. You don't have to do that. I mean, you could read in bed. Some of you, if you have a waterproof phone, you could read in the shower. It doesn't matter, okay? Do whatever works for you. The key is you pick a time and a place, and you stay consistent. Now, here's what I didn't say. I didn't say what to read. I didn't say what. Now listen, if you're new to your faith, don't start in the Old Testament. Don't read through Leviticus. That's gonna be a little tough. Don't read Revelation. If you're here and you're under the age of 13, no Song of Songs. Okay, you can't read that, all right? Don't do that. But I'm just telling you, just pick something. Start in the New Testament. Start in the book of John. Start in the book of Matthew, the book of James. Now you go like, man, it's just so hard. I have such a hard time reading the Bible and understanding what it says. Do you understand we live in a time where it is easier to engage God's word than in any time in history? We have study Bibles that have notes below, but here's what I'm gonna encourage all of us to do. This is the easiest way to read your Bible. You download the YouVersion Bible app, which is available on every single platform, every single phone. If you've never downloaded this, it's incredible. There are thousands of Bible reading plans that every single day, it just tells you what to read, and then oftentimes it has devotional notes that help you with what you just read. I mean, 100 years ago, they didn't have that. They're reading the King James Bible, which was written in 1611. I mean, you have everything at your fingertips. You have no excuses for engaging God's word. Now, Jamie and I, we have this. We read the same Bible plan at the same time. We don't sit down at the same time, but we read the same Bible plan. Here's why we do that. We've just found that, man, if we read the same thing, God begins illuminating us together in our marriage. And in the app now, they have a feature where if you're on the same plan with someone else, you can write your notes and that person sees your notes. Isn't this amazing? So I'm just challenging you to make a decision that if you want God to illuminate your life, for you to be able to see through the eyes of a lion, you have to let the light into your life. And it happens not only, but most powerfully through God's word. And then when you're there, and you're reading God's word, you say this prayer. God, would you use this to be a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path? You pray a very simple prayer, and here's what I know. God will answer that prayer. And you will be able to see life through the lens of faith. Now, we're going to pick up the series next week. I'm so excited about next week. You don't want to miss. You got to invite someone with you. This series is going to be one in which it's an easy invite for you. And we're going to pick up the series next week. But until then, let me pray for you right now that God would convict you, that you would engage his word at a whole new level, and that he would transform your life. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your word, that you gave us an actual book that can guide us. And in this book, there's advice for family, for finances, for our future, for purpose, for work, for relationships, for worship. God, it's all in there. For some of us, we're just intimidated to open it. We think you have to have some sort of Bible college degree or something. God, we all have access to your word. And I pray that we would just open it up and just find a Bible reading plan. And as we read your word, would you just begin to spur us on and work in our lives and our church like never before? We love you, and we pray that you would move powerfully in each of our lives as we engage and let more light into our life. In Jesus' name, amen.